Cameraman,
lights, camera, action.
Camera action. Let's talk about. Welcome to Month of Movies podcast episode October 2016.
Wow,
dude, I
yeah.
I'm Scott
and I'm Jason,
and for this year of 2016, I picked a list of the scariest movies of ever.
And I am watching a bunch of collections of movies.
And then also we will talk about those movies and the other ones we watched during the month. Whoa.
This is going to be a fun one. Since it's October, Scott has a bunch of scary movies.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the bonus ones we watched this month were also scary because it's
October. All of the ones I watched were scary movies.
I watched a couple that weren't.
Yeah, some of them were supposed to be scary. Da-dun-dun. The first movie I watched of the month was It Came from Outer Space.
I also watched this movie.
Is that the rating you gave it?
No, that's the date I watched it.
Oh.
4 out of 4 is 10.
Okay.
10-4.
This movie, I watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers earlier this year. So I was thinking it was going to be like something like that, but it kind of was, but it wasn't.
I can't believe that this one was on your scariest movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I combined a bunch of lists. So, I mean, I narrowed it down from 100 and some to ones I hadn't seen. But
this was a lot like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It was.
It felt like, except without the body snatching.
Yeah, so what happens is this guy who lives out like in the country. I think I want to say it was like near California-ish in California, somewhere
in
there.
In the desert, I thought.
It was near a desert, but he's an astronomer type guy. He likes looking at stars, and he sees a shooting star, and it crashes nearby. He's like, "Whoa, we gotta go check that out!" So he goes to check it out, and when he goes down into like where the crater was in, mm-hmm. he sees a strange craft and a creature, and he's like telling everybody, "He's like, whoa." I saw this creature down there. I was like, yeah, you can't prove it because it caved in. It's like, you're just insane. You're a crazy man. You're a weirdo man. And then, people start acting strangely as you realize that the alien from another world is, like, kidnapping people and pretending to be them, like, to look like them. And, It's kind of like this weird, like mysterious thing. Like, oh, what's happening? Why is this alien doing this? Like, what are their plans? Because like right away he's like, "Do not worry, we won't harm you. Just let us finish our plans and we'll be gone." You're like, what are they doing? Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it without like giving the rest of the movie away, because that's like the first 2/3 of it right there.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, because, I mean, I imagine, like, back with the 1950s or whenever this movie was made. I want to say 1957. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. I'm sure, like, space movies like this were, like, creepy, especially when you're like, oh, what, like, when you can't trust anybody. Like, oh, my God, these people look like everybody else. What I don't know who to trust. I'm sure it was, like, probably creepy back then, but it was entertaining for me. It went by pretty fast. By the time I was like, all right, I'm ready for this movie to wrap up. It wrapped up. So, I don't know. I gave it a 7.
I gave it a 5, because to me it wasn't out of the ordinary, wasn't, like, amazing, it didn't suck, but, yeah, I gave it a 5. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. I don't know.
I did like the little trails of, like, cosmic dust or whatever that they left. That looked cool.
It wasn't anything to write home about. It's 5.
Okay. I think we watched the same amount of movies, and half of the movies I saw you watched also.
Yeah. The next one I watched was Rosemary's Baby.
Same here. I watched a movie called Rosemary's Baby. Now, this is one I have seen before.
I've never seen this one before.
But I saw it in high school, so it was at least 15 years ago. Because I read the book, and I was like, this is a cool book. And then I got the movie on VHS, which I think I might still... I still have it on VHS. But it's a movie about this young couple. Guy, which always messed me up because that was the first time I heard that Guy was a name.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Guy Woodhouse.
Yeah. So Guy, he's an actor. And then Rosemary, that's his wife. And they move into this this apartment building. I want to say in Hell's Kitchen, I think. I believe it was.
It's in New York.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't know where in New York.
It's somewhere around there. I want to say Hell's Kitchen because when I was reading the book, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. That's where Daredevil's from. it's... So then, like, they move in and they meet their, like, neighbors and stuff like that. And, like, there are some really old people and they're, like, just really very eccentric neighbors and stuff. And she's like, oh, that's weird.
And her husband constantly wants to hang out with them.
Yeah. But, this is one of those movies that, like,
well, see, most people know this movie.
Yeah, like, I suppose.
The spoiler in it, like, is probably what the movie's known for.
Yeah. Because, like, throughout the whole movie, well, if you guys don't mind, I'm gonna kind of spoil it, sort of. But throughout the whole movie...
But if you haven't seen it, and you don't know what this movie's about...
Yeah.
I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah.
Because we're going to give it away.
Yeah.
Well, not give the movie away, but we're going to give the plot away.
Yeah. Yeah, it was first person to...
I don't own it, so I can't give it away.
You find out more and more about, the neighbors and stuff like that, and they're giving her this thing called Tannis Root, which is this... She puts in this locket, and Rosemary wears around her neck, and says, good luck.
It smells really bad.
Yeah, it smells really bad and stuff like that, but, one of Rosemary's friends is like, this, something's not adding up. He starts digging into information about the people that are living there and the building and whatnot. And they find out that the people that originally built the building many, many years ago and, like, lived in it, like, they practiced witchcraft and whatnot. But then after a while, that family got, like, either... they died off or, like, they moved down or whatever, and they ended up, like, just renovating the building into, like, apartment buildings and stuff like that. It's this whole, like... It turns into this whole, like... Is this group of people... Like, are they... sort of, like, prepping the baby? Because Rosemary gets pregnant near the beginning of the movie... And they're, like, giving her, like, oh, try these herbal things and these herb things and try this, like, these vegetables and whatnot. Not vegetables. Roots. Roots things. Right? The milkshake they gave the...
Yeah, they gave her, like, these shakes that she had to drink that had all the nutrients and stuff.
The chocolate mousse and stuff.
Well, the mousse was to make her fall asleep so
They could make it. Put the baby inside to have sex with each other.
But the milkshakes was after
I'm doing
she was
so
pregnant.
Yeah.
That was to help the nutrients for the baby.
Yeah. But god damn it. I'm not giving this movie enough credit. It's an awesome movie. The cinematography is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it makes you feel really, like, paranoid because the whole time you're like, is she out of her mind? Is she imagining all this shit? Or is it real? Because, like, are the neighbors actually practicing witchcraft? Are they not? Is she just paranoid? Like, if you watch American Horror Story, like, basically the first season of that movie, of that show, majority of the plot is this movie. Like, having the baby and stuff, and the neighbors like, here, try these, eat these things. Because I think at one point she starts, like, eating raw meat.
Yeah.
In the movie. Yeah. But it's a really cool movie, and it's good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I gave it a 9.
I gave it an 8.
Give it a 9. I really liked it.
All right, you tell me about a movie you watched.
I started watching... Okay, for my collection this month, since it was October, I felt it was appropriate. So I started watching the Halloween movies.
That's how soon you started watching them?
Yeah.
I watched like 4 movies in between that.
Yeah, this was the 3rd movie. It was the first Halloween movie I watched. Yeah, so I started watching the Halloween movies. So I watched the first Halloween. Was it John Carpenter?
John Carpenter.
The Halloween with Michael Myers. So the movie takes place... Well, the start of the movie, when Michael Myers is a kid.
Oh, yeah.
At the very beginning of the movie, he murders his, what, sister?
Yep.
Yeah, he's like walks into her room when she's getting ready, and she's like, oh, Michael, you shouldn't be in here. And he's holding a knife, and he stabs her to death. Yep. And then, like, but this is all done first-person point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, as he leaves the house, then you see...
The parents coming up, like, what's
going on? And the kid's holding a knife, and Michael Myers gets put into an insane asylum to try to figure out what's wrong with him. And then, what was it, like, 20 years later?
15. Because he's, like... I think he's like 21 now or something like that, and he was like, he did when he was 7 or something like that.
So
eight,
he escapes from the asylum, and they're like, oh, he's going back home.
Yeah, the movie in current time literally starts on like October 30th,
right?
Like the night before Halloween,
right? Because he killed her on Halloween. So the doctor was like, we have to go to his hometown. He's gonna go back there, and he's very dangerous. He's gonna kill people. So, the doctor goes back to his hometown and tries to convince the police officers and stuff, like, we have to find him. And they're like, yeah, you're over-exaggerating. He's like, no, we've been studying him for years. There's something wrong with him. And they're like, yeah, sure. And he's like, so they're trying to figure out where he is. And then, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, because... A lot more information about the whole Michael Myers thing happens in the second movie.
Right.
But basically this one is like, yeah, the doctor's like, I need to stop him. If he does this, then, you know, so many people could get hurt or die and stuff like that. Because he's like, he knows how dangerous Michael Myers is. And that character itself, I just love that the character.
Doctor. Yeah. I like the doctor a lot, too.
Although, a little Easter egg, this movie was made in 1978.
Yep.
The movie that they're watching... the movie that they're watching on TV that night, because they're like, the horror movies and stuff, horror movie-a-thon. It's The Thing from Another Planet,
mm-hmm.
which was the movie that John Carpenter remade in 1980.
Oh, so he probably had the rights to it.
Yeah, so
he's like, showing the original in the movie.
Yeah, so they're watching The Thing from The Thing from Another Planet, or The Thing from...
It's from Another Planet.
Thing from Another Planet. They're watching that movie. I'm like, God damn it, it's great. Because like, I think the next movie he does is like the Thing.
Because Halloween 2 comes out in 81.
Yeah. So I thought that was a cool little Easter egg. And then also,
So Michael Myers is like sneaking around town and he starts killing people.
Yeah.
And the cops are like, oh, maybe this doctor's right.
The thing that really creeps me out the most, though, is the fact that, like, going... Not trying to pull into the second one already, but, like, the fact that
he's... That's exactly where I was going to go, to the next one.
But the thing is, like, he's just a normal person, but he's insane.
Yeah, he's, like, so, super like, strong.
So the fact that, like, when, like, near the end of the movie, when she pulls the mask off him, it's just a guy, and you're like... And the way he acts throughout the movie, like, just driving around in his car, like, spying on people, like, mainly Jamie Lee Curtis, like, who's the main character, he's, like, spying on her the whole time. You're like, this is just, that's right, this isn't, like, Jason Voorhees who's just standing in a forest, or Freddy who's like, right. I'm gonna, like, this is just a person. That part really creeps me out the most, because it's like, he's
planning not undead or anything, he's just a normal person.
He's just a normal person who's like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna watch them, just to see, like, it really creeps me out the most that, like, it's, like, he knows all these things, like how to drive and how to do this, and like, it creeps me out a lot just thinking of that aspect of it.
The fact that he knows how to drive is weird because since he was a kid, like, no one taught him how to drive.
Yeah.
So he figured it out, I guess.
But it's just, like, you won't ever see, like, Jason just getting in a car and going, well, I'm going to go do this, because there's no, like, he doesn't understand anything, you know?
Yeah. Then the second one, I have to tell a little funny story. So I'm going through and watching them, and I started watching Halloween 2, and I was like, wow, the effects are really amazing in this. And then I realized that this was the Rob Zombie sequel, so then I finished watching that one because I got halfway through it.
You were more than halfway through it.
Right. But so then I finished that one, and then I went and looked for Halloween 2, so I drove around and found that one. But anyway, the one from... 81 is a direct sequel from the first one.
Yeah.
So the way the first movie ends is where the second movie picks up.
Actually, like, not knowing that Halloween 2 is basically starts within the next second of the first movie.
Right.
That first movie has a badass ending, in my opinion. In my opinion.
Yeah, so then the second movie, I'm not going to spoil anything, but they basically bring the people to the hospital who were involved in the epic finale of the first movie.
Yeah.
Including Michael Myers, right? No, he didn't get brought back?
No, because he...
what happened.
Because he looks out the window and the...
I shouldn't have, like... I watched all these Halloweens and I'm getting them all mixed up now.
Do you want me to...
Yeah, you continue.
Okay. Well...
Because Jamie Lee Curtis goes to the hospital.
Yeah, because she's like, she got stabbed a little bit by it, and plus she was like out of her fucking mind because she's like, the boogeyman's trying to get us, blah, 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 blah. But no, because initially, I'm going to just not really spoil the ending because it's of the first one. The doctor shows up to the house and he's like, and he sees Michael Myers there and he just unloads his gun in him and he shoots him up and he goes out the window like on the second floor. And lands in the yard. And when he gets to the window, he's gone. He's like, oh, shit. And then the movie basically ends there. So then, like, yeah, so they're like, okay, we got to find him. We've got to find Michael. And they send, like, Jamie Lee Curtis's character off to the hospital. But then as they're, like, as he's with the cops and stuff, he sees a guy with the same mask and stuff get hit by a car. Like, in the two cars, like, the car hits him in, like, a van, and they just all explode. And he's like, we got him. We killed Michael Myers. It's got to be him. And he's like, we got to find out if it is. Because if it's not, then he's still out there somewhere. And then I think maybe half of the movie takes place in the hospital of Jamie Lee Curtis being like, oh, I got to get away from...
Most of the movie takes place in the hospital, because even the end of the movie, the epic finale happens in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then there's that whole, like, murder and that whole thing with the night nurse and the doctor orderly guy. He was like, hey, let's go have sex in this hot tub. And then, like, God damn it. It's like, those slasher movies have such cheesy tropes sometimes that I'm like, they just want to get the body count up, so it's like they introduce characters like, you know, they're gonna die, and you're like, all right, go ahead, just do it, just get it over with, because the guy's face gets boiled. Oh, the lady gets, like, her face gets boiled in a hot tub thing. It was for, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right, because it could get past 100 or something.
Yeah, because it's like for therapy, whatever, heating tub thing. Yeah. The cool thing about the second one is that they go just a little bit more into the story of who Michael Myers is and stuff, but there's still a lot I want to know about his past, because, I don't know, you find out some things, you're like, okay, cool, what about this stuff now, you know? But, I don't know, they were cool movies, they're better than I thought they're going to be, because it's, you know, at least with the Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, there's some supernatural type stuff, which actually this does kind of have some supernatural type stuff, because the creepy thing is, in the credits, they don't say Michael Myers. It says The Form.
Hmm.
Because the doctor does talk about how they believe on, you know, Halloween night and stuff, like, certain spirits are more powerful, or they use certain people for, like, you know, for sacrifices and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's because it says The Form, and then, like, yeah, I was, like, reading other synopses of the other Halloween movies. It's like The Form as Michael Myers or whatever, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? But I gave the first one a 7 and the second one a 7.5.
I gave them both 7s.
Okay.
I was going to give the second one a 7.5, but I don't know. It's probably like a 7.25, but I don't do quarters, so...
Yeah, well, I just like... The second one was a little bit more interesting because half the first movie was basically set up for, hey, I'm following you around, and she's like, I'm getting paranoid.
Yeah, so that was one of two. And then I took a break of horror movies, and since this movie was on HBO, I decided to watch it, and it's The Revenant.
Revenant.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Titanic, man.
Leonardo DiCaprio won for Best Actor in this movie. The movie itself, I thought I wrote notes down for this, but apparently I didn't. The movie takes place back in fur trader times. I don't fucking know.
I'd probably say 1800s,
something
like that. I would say 18th century. I'm probably wrong.
But anyway, yeah, it doesn't say in the quick search. But so there's a bunch of fur traders that are going out collecting traps and collecting all these animals and stuff like that. And the Native Americans are pissed at them. So there was like, the Native Americans came to their camp and shot it up, trying to get them to get off their property and stuff like that. And
1823, you were right.
See, 1800s.
I said 18th century.
Oh, okay. So that's 1700s.
Yeah.
And so they all pack up and take off, and they're like, oh, shit, you know, this is the Native Americans stole all their shit, like all their, they bombarded the camp, stole their furs and stuff like that, and they're like, we came out here to bring back furs, we got to bring back furs. So then a couple of them are like, we're going to head back. The other one's like, okay, we're going to stick around and, like, you know, try to get at least a couple more things before we head out. And during this whole process, Leonardo DiCaprio's character gets attacked by a bear. And it was pretty gruesome. Gets his throat slashed and arm, and, like, his back is all tore up. And he looks like he should be dead. But he's still alive. And the rest of the group come back and they're like, oh, shit, he's still alive. So they bandage him up and...
Oh,
you know,
so when
try to survive him, make him, like, let him survive. And they're like, okay, you watch him while we go out. And while we head back, you know, because it's going to take you guys longer to get back because he's injured. So we'll meet you back at town. So there's, like, two people. One of them is Leonardo DiCaprio's kid, who's half Native American. And then this other guy who's a complete asshole.
Tom Jane?
No.
Not meant Tom Hardy?
Yeah. So they're like, you watch him, and then Tom Hardy's character is like, he should be dead. We should just leave him and bury him, and because he's not going to survive the trip back. So he starts burying him, and
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
He's only still alive?
Yeah, because he's like, he can't talk or anything because his throat's all slashed out, and he can't walk, so he's just like, screw it. He's not gonna make it. He's gonna get infected, and we're just leave him here. He's not gonna survive. So they leave him, and he buries him, and he goes back to the town. And like, oh, what happened? Oh, yeah, he died. So we did a burial, and you know, it was very sad, and it was hard, but we did the proper thing. We did our piece, and blah blah blah. And then at this point, Leonardo DiCaprio's character pulls himself out of, he like digs himself out of the dirt. And like is, you know, crawling around and trying to get back. And basically the movie is Leonardo DiCaprio's character getting pissed and wanting revenge on this guy who left him for dead.
So it's a lot like The Martian, but in...
Not like The Martian at all. Because in Martian, he's like, yeah, you left me, but I don't blame you.
he shits in his garden.
Yeah, so there's like pretty epic battle at the end of the movie. But it was pretty good. I felt either a lot of time passed in the movie or he healed pretty quickly. Because when he first got attacked and he's like crawling around, it's like, holy shit, how the fuck is he going to get anywhere? And then he's like defending himself. And it's just like, how the hell is he doing all this when he can't even talk? Because he's so hurt. And mm-hmm. I don't know. So I was having this conversation with somebody and they're like, oh, did he deserve the best... performance? And I'm like, I don't know, but most of the ones that he went against in there weren't like, you know, the best of the best, I thought, that past year for the Oscars. So I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio as an actor I think is really good. Was this his best performance ever? Probably not. But it was a decent movie.
Okay.
I gave I scrolled down, I didn't mean to scroll down. I gave it an 8.
Eight.
Yeah, give that an 8.
Speaking of movies that were in the movie theaters at one point.
All these movies were in the movie theater at one point, I think.
Maybe. The next movie, movie I watched after Rosemary's Baby was, I was excited because I like horror movies and there's not a lot in the theaters that at least get good ratings. And I heard Don't Breathe, I heard it had some pretty decent ratings. So I was like, well, I was able to go to a Tuesday for $5. I'm like, what a great time to go watch it. I'm going to try to review this without hating everyone in the theater. But a couple months back, we reviewed People Under the Stairs.
Yeah.
Now, this almost feels like Don't Breathe was a... They like, hey, you know, People Under the Stairs was a good movie by Wes Craven. Let's kind of take that idea and just mess with it a little bit.
So it's original.
Yes, it's very original. So basically the movie is these three people that live in Detroit. And they live in like a really shitty part of town. Obviously it's Detroit. Sorry, I didn't mean to have to explain that. And the main girl, she's like, I gotta get money and get out of here because my little sister is not being taken care of by my mom and my stepdad because they're like, they don't give a shit about her and she needs to be brought up better. What they do is they break into people's houses and steal just enough stuff, like because I guess one of the main characters, like, you secretly find out. But it's like right away that he, his dad works for a alarm company.
Oh, okay.
So like he has all the keys and codes and stuff like that. So they'll go into someone's house and steal, but they won't steal over $10,000, otherwise, because then it's a certain crime. So they steal like just normal stuff and then sell it. But then they hear that there's this guy who has. What happened was he was like a Vietnam vet. And then this drunk driver woman hit and killed his daughter. So they ended up like settling it, I think, either in or out of court. Like she got off. She didn't get put into jail or anything like for a murder trial, but she just ended up having to pay him a lot of money. So I think it was like, I can't remember, I think it was like $500,000, like $500,000, something like that. So they're like, well, that blind guy lives in the house by himself, and he lives in a shitty part of town. We could easily break in there, get the money, and then get out of this town. Because, like, he's just, like, a weird old man. And so they decide to go, hey. So they plan all this shit out, and they go in there. But since he's, like, a Vietnam vet, he is a little more spry and better at figuring shit out than they expected. Because he can do some crazy things.
He's Daredevil.
Yeah, not as good as that, but yeah, they break into the house. They try this, doing this like chlorine bomb to like knock the guy out, but for some reason it doesn't work. I don't know why. They don't explain that. And one of the guys immediately, like, the guy comes down and hears a guy. So like here's the guy and he's like, stop right there and whatnot. And then like, he ends up killing the robber in front of his friend, like, their friends, and because obviously he doesn't know they're there. And, so then the other two are like, we gotta fucking find a way to get out of here, because then he has all these crazy locks and all this other shit. Like, you know, because they need keys, and the old man has the keys, and well, if we escape through here, or here, or here, and it just turns into a thing where, like, the characters are just trying to get out of the house, and he has a dog that is... It just reminds me so much of People Under the Stairs without the actual people under the stairs. But then you find out like there's more to this guy than you realize, because there's like a whole hidden story here and a hidden story here. And it's unfortunately a movie where you go, hey, these people, the main characters we're trying to root for are thieves, and they're trying to steal money from a blind man who lost all his family. And then you find out the other guy's like, oh, he's not a good person either. No one's a good person in this movie. No one deserves retribution because they're all horrible people. So it's like, yay, cheer for the one or two people that succeed in this movie. Like, you know, it just, I don't know. It was, I was hoping for, because I heard people say it was scary. There was no scary in it, except for like, oh, jump scare. Wow, look out, I'm here. Woo. But there was a moment that was kind of cool, but that's like a sort of a spoiler near the end. That was kind of neat, but I don't know. It wasn't a great movie. I had my hopes of it too high, I guess, and it just felt like unoriginal, and some of the characters they just didn't seem like real people. I don't know. I gave it a 5.
So I decided to watch a horror movie that was on, I think, on HBO as well. And this one's called They, or Wes Craven Presents They. It's called They.
They.
Yeah, it came out in 2002.
Okay, sorry.
They.
For some reason, I was thinking of They Live.
Oh, no, this is not They Live. So, the main character, when she was a kid, she was afraid of the dark. And she's had nightmares about things that existed in the dark that you couldn't see. Now, fast forward to when she's older in college, she's studying psychology. And she's trying to get her psychology degree or whatever the heck it's called. And her friend from back when she was that age, when she was little, he was also afraid of the dark. And he meets up with her and says, "Remember when we were afraid of the dark?" And she's like, "Yeah."
Good times.
There was a reason we were afraid of the dark. Something lives there.
Oh.
And they're like, "Okay." He's like, "If the lights flicker or this happens, that happens, they're coming for you. You got to watch out." And she's like, "Oh, okay." He needs help. And then he kills himself right in front of her. And she's like, "Oh, shit." So she goes to the funeral and meets his two closest friends. So they're having conversations and they're like, "Yeah, did he mention about these things that are hidden in the dark?" And they're like, "Yeah, he does that all the time. He was talking about that stuff all the time. It sucks to see him go," and blah, blah, blah. And then after that, she starts having nightmares about things that are in the dark. And she's trying to figure it out. She's like, "Is this real? Did this..." You know, so she starts getting sucked into that whole thing. And it shows these creatures, but you can't see them. If you show light on them, they disappear. So there's like a scene where they're in the subway and like... the creatures kind of looked cool, but you couldn't really see them because they're in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so then the movie, she's like trying to escape these creatures, you know, run from these creatures that are hiding in the dark and stuff like that. And she starts talking to her professor about these creatures. And he's like, "Oh no, she's having mental problems. She's like, she's hiding from something." And, you know, so they start thinking she's crazy. And, this movie wasn't that great.
Oh, he didn't...
Okay. I kind of want to give the ending away, because it wasn't a great movie, but I won't. Because it's not, like, super awesome ending.
What do you mean? It's got a 38 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 4.8 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of funny. I gave it a 4.5, so that's pretty damn close. I didn't think it was that great of a movie.
Oh, it's a Wes Craven Presents. So yeah. He didn't even have anything to do with it. He just...
His name was on it.
Yeah. He's probably like executive producer or something.
Yeah. But it wasn't great. It had Ethan Embry in it.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. It doesn't look like... The stills I'm looking at don't look amazing.
Yeah, but the movie cover looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched that one.
Cool.
4.5.
The next movie I watched was on my list of movies. It's called Who Can Kill a Child? Now, it's a Spanish movie, I believe. It's a Spanish movie, I think, but I thought it was made in Mexico. I don't remember exactly. So the movie kind of starts off just as a documentary almost. It was really weird because like the first like 5 or 10 minutes, it's like, oh, this happened, this war happened, and this many people died, like World War II and the Nazis and stuff like that. And like this many people died, this many million people died, and this many million of them were children. the Vietnam War, this many people died, this many millions of people died, this many millions of them were children. And, like, it's just, like, explaining all these horrible events that happened through history and how many children died because of it. You're like, okay, I see where what you're going for. And then it cuts to the movie where it's, like, it's these two tourists who are, they're just, shit, I want to say they're from England or London or something, and they're vacationing in Spain. And it's during, like, this, like, festival and stuff like that. Like, oh, cool. And the guy's like, all right, we're going to go to the small island that, I lived on when I was a kid and stuff like that. And it's really quiet. There's not a lot of people there and stuff, and it's just really beautiful. So they go get a boat, and they go there. And then once they get to the island, they're trying to look around for, like, a place to stay, a hotel, and, like, get food and whatnot. But they're not finding any adults anywhere. And, eventually, when they first see the first adult they see, a kid, like, runs up to the old man and, like, takes a stick and just starts beating the shit out of the old man. Like, whoa, what the fuck? What's happening? So the guy, like, it's amazing. It has some really cool moments, because at the beginning, like, when they're on the mainland, they see, like, kids playing pinata with a pinata. Like, just pulling it up and, like, swinging it at the bat and stuff and missing and whatnot. So then, this guy, like, the guy, like, runs up to help the old man, and, like, he's, like, beat to shit. He's like, oh, I'll help you, and, like, he goes to try to track down the kid, so he brings the old man into this, like, barn, and he's like, here, sit here in the shade while I go get help. And then he goes and looks, and comes back, and, as a sort of, like, reference to before, the kids have the old man tied up from the rafters of the barn, and they're playing pinata with him. But instead of, like, having a bat, they have, like, a scythe. So it's like, holy shit! These kids are fucking evil! But, yeah, so something's happening where all the children on this island are just trying to get rid of the adults for some reason. And and that's where the title comes from. It's like, because who... Like, no matter how evil and how... It's all like Children of the Corn on an island. But these, like... The idea is, who is horrible enough to actually be able to... Even, like, if the kids are evil, who can kill a child? Like, who can actually, like, go through with it and go, well, you're evil, I'm gonna murder you, child. But it had some pretty cool moments, and, man... Like... It totally was open for a sequel, which I'm glad they didn't do. I don't want to say open for a sequel. It was more like it was like an open-ended, like, well, we're fucked type ending. But it was pretty fun. It was a cool movie. I mean, it was a cool idea. It was a little slow at some points and stuff like that. And considering that, like, it came to America and... was they edited it and stuff, and they edited some scenes out and whatnot. So I was, like, expecting when this uncut version, I was expecting it to be, like, much more graphic and bloody. But I guess they do, like, the kids are, like, shot down and, like, stuff like that. So I guess that is kind of, especially for the 70s, it's pretty gruesome. But I gave it a 7. Yep, 7.
So the next movie I watched, you also saw.
Yeah.
And that was Holidays.
Okay. I like anthology movies.
So this one's an anthology movie. Basically, they did a bunch of short films, one for each holiday. And each holiday was done by a different writer and director.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say they started with Valentine's Day?
Yes.
And then they had Mother's Day, Father's Day, and stuff like that.
Easter. Well, I think it was
Easter. I don't know the order, but
Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Mother's Day, right. Father's Day.
But for the most part, I didn't know any of these directors and writers except one, and that was Kevin Smith. That was, like, the worst one.
Fucking awful.
Didn't even have much to do with Halloween, because it was the Halloween month.
Yeah.
And
except for that was the issue with the...
Yeah, it just happened to be on Halloween.
And that's why they weren't getting customers.
Right. So that was a dumb one. But each one was unique and creepy.
Yeah.
they weren't all amazing, but they definitely stuck with you.
There's a few, yeah.
Like Valentine's Day one.
That one was pretty neat. I liked that one.
Yeah. I don't even know how to describe each movie without giving stuff away, but
well, the Valentine's Day one was about a girl. There's like a girl who
got picked on.
Who got picked on, but she kind of has a crush on the gym teacher.
They're doing a fundraiser thing for a heart transplant. Yeah. If you had a heart issue.
But
it's like their swimming coach. That's what
it is. And it's a short story about how the girl deals with the popular girls and
right.
Yeah.
And Mother's Day was about this pregnant woman and a cult.
Yeah.
Father's Day was about this girl who found a cassette tape from her dad who went missing, which was probably one of the best ones in there.
Like, if you just took that 15-minute clip and just did that as a movie...
A full movie?
It's one of, like... Or just that 15 minutes. That's one of the best things I've seen in a long time. Dude, that stuck with me so fucking long. And then I even, like, someone uploaded the whole movie on YouTube. So when I was sitting there at work one time just to listen to it, I found it, loaded it, and then just brought it to the point just so I could listen to that part and watch it and rewatch it. I'm like, fucking A, man. And I started following the guy on Twitter and then watched a few like videos of his music and some of that. And it's, God damn it.
Yeah.
Because he wrote it, directed it, and did the music for it.
Yeah, so that one was pretty cool.
You were describing She finds.
I was just doing a quick synopsis of each story. Yeah, and then St. Patrick's Day was...
A teacher won. It was like... had this weird student in her class.
I'm trying to remember.
She was very alone. You don't remember how it ended?
That's the only thing I remember is how it ended.
Well, there's a weird girl in her class, and they're talking about St. Patrick's Day, and the little girl's like just very weird and quiet.
I wasn't going to go in detail on each story. I was just going to do it quickly.
But the teacher wanted a baby.
Easter was this creepy guy in the living room.
Yeah, it was like an Easter bunny. This like girl sees like this Easter bunny type thing.
And Halloween was like a sex chatting.
Yeah, webcam girls.
Webcam girls thing. Christmas was about this VR machine that you could like, it knew who you were, so it like showed you what you wanted to see.
Yeah.
And it was like a VR of like, so the kid, I don't remember what an example was.
The kid, he was like a space captain.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. I don't know why I was thinking dinosaurs, but...
Yeah, like Mars or something.
New Year's was about a blind date.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That one was pretty decent.
I'm sure I missed some other ones, but they were all unique and definitely worth watching. Some of them didn't have the best endings. Some of them...
Yeah.
But they all... I mean, even though I don't remember them all now... they'll just pop in my head every once in a while going, oh yeah, that was creepy. I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard because one of them was really, really good and the one was really, really bad.
Yeah.
For the most part, I thought there were more good than bad ones.
Yeah.
Even ones that weren't amazing were still interesting.
Yeah.
So that's why I gave it an 8.
The next movie I watched was on my list of movies to watch was the movie Audition. I think it's Japanese. Either way, it's Asian. Asian movie where it's about a father who his wife passes away. And his son is like really young. But then it jumps ahead 7 years. And the son's like a teenager and he's like in high school and stuff like that, and he's like, hey dad, you know, why aren't you dating? You should remarry. And I'm sure mom would be okay with that. She doesn't want you to be sad and stuff. And he's like, you know, I might as well do it before you get too old. And the guy's like, oh wow, that was mean. Like the beginning, like the first half of this movie is almost like a lighthearted like romantic movie. And it's actually the first half of the movie is really good in my opinion, like because this guy, the main character, he works for this he's the owner of this business that makes movies and like stuff like that. So he's talking to this guy's like, yeah, how do you meet women nowadays? Like I want someone like to have a skill in this and this and this. So the guy's like, you know what we should do? we'll have an audition. Like, remember the script that we wrote all these years ago, that someone wrote all these years ago and we never did the movie? We'll have an audition for that movie. And then he's like, you don't want the girl that will get the part because, you know, like, she's too proud of herself or whatever and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you want the people that, you know, you wouldn't get for the part, but you'd consider for it. So, like, so they hired, they set this whole thing up where they had auditions all day. And then, like, so the guy would just go through, like, all these applications and pick the people he wants to see. So, like, the auditions. And then he's like, oh, this girl, he's, like, fascinated by her. So he's like, I want to go on a date with this woman. And the guy's like, hold on, let's do some background checks and stuff first because this woman doesn't seem right. But then the guy's like, fuck it, I'm going to call her. So he goes on a date with her and stuff, and the guy's like, yeah, everything she said in the interview was a lie, or, like, it's nothing's adding up. Like, this guy that she said she worked for, he disappeared a year ago, and this place that she says she works at, no one knows what it is, it doesn't exist, and all this other stuff. He's like, don't call her. He's like, oh, okay. But then, yeah, and then after that point, it kind of, like, turns into this weird, really weird, bizarre sort of, like, horror-ish movie where, obviously, the woman, there's more to her than you realize, but there's a whole aspect of the scene where he's, like, figuring out all this stuff about the woman, even though, like, and he's, like, talking to people, like, and seeing events happen, but it's like, how does he know all this stuff? It's just, I don't know, it was really weird. I'm guessing they're showing what happened, but, like, as he was figuring it out or whatever, I don't know. I remember in college when this movie came out, my friends were like, the movie, the ending is so bizarre and so gross and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, it's gotta be bloody and stuff like that, I'm sure. There's a part in the movie that's even, like, it's not bloody or anything, but it's one of the most, like, I had to look away from the screen because it was so gross. Because there's not a lot of stuff that grosses me out. I shouldn't say that. That's a lie. There is a bunch of stuff that grosses me out, but there's a vomit part that kind of made me kind of, yeah, it was, but the movie as a whole was a cool experience. I gave it a 7.5.
Nice. So the next movie I watched was Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Scary.
Yeah, see, I said I didn't watch all scary movies.
I know, I did.
The scary part is why this was made. I don't know why it was made. So, if you haven't seen the first Hot Tub Time Machine... Oh, did I? Nope, that was before we started doing the podcast. Hot Tub Time Machine, the first one, they get drunk in this hot tub and they wake up in the past. It's like 1980s. And so the way that movie ended was one of the guys, he's like, hey, it's the past. We can create, you know, we can get rich off of this. And then he creates Google. And the other guy, he starts stealing a bunch of songs from the present and releases them as his own. So when you get to the present, they're rich. And so the main guy, instead of Google, it's called Lugal because his name's Lou. And then the other guy, he's like, you know, doing Lisa Loeb's Stay and Black Eyed Peas songs and stuff, but he's releasing them as his own because they didn't exist yet in the 80s. So the movie takes place at the present time when they're all rich and they're throwing a party and someone comes in and shoots Lou and tries to kill him. And they're like, oh shit, we gotta stop that from happening. So they go in the hot tub to go back in time to stop him from getting shot. So they get drunk and they, you know, simulate the whole hot tub thing. But they end up in the future. And Chevy Chase's character apparently knows all about this time traveling hot tub. So he comes in, says something, and then he's gone. So this time they're like, we tried to go in the past. He's like, you don't get to choose where the hot tub takes you. The hot tub knows where you should go. So the hot tub took them to the future because that's where they're supposed to go. And Lou, he's fine, even though he got shot. They're like, oh, so according to the timeline, like, someone from the future went into the past to shoot him. So in this timeline, it didn't happen yet. So, like, the future is the past kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they're going around trying to figure out who shot him. And whenever they start doing stuff they're not supposed to, you know, he flickers, like, Back to the Future style.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, someone, like, who's missing in our group? And they're like, oh, yeah, John Cusack's character. I can't remember his name. So they look him up, and they're like, we can go find him. And they get to the location, and the guy has the same name, but it's not him. It's apparently his kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's Junior, and it's Adam Scott's character. So then, like, he tags along with them, and they do all this crazy stuff that's in the future that is over the top, and these weird drugs that don't exist yet where you just put a sticker on your neck and then you trip out. And yeah, it wasn't that great of a movie. It was pretty obvious. Like, as I was watching it, I'm like, I know exactly who shot him. As you're watching it, it's pretty obvious. But I'm not going to tell you in case you do want to see this movie. But
and if you're stupid, you won't figure it out right away.
yeah, this movie did not seem to be necessary.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of the movie, like, the credit sequence, it was just a huge montage of them using the time machine and going through different parts of history.
Oh.
Because it's funny.
It is funny.
The first movie I liked. I didn't rate it.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was entertaining, and I'm like, I'm curious at the second one. The second one was not that great.
Mm.
I can't believe I gave it that high of a score. But anyway, I gave it a 5.5.
Ooh.
Because there were parts that were kind of humorous. But as a whole, the movie probably did not need to be made. Like most sequels.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's that.
Now, you know, your movie's pulled up. You watched this movie last year. But I watched The Birds.
Birds?
Which I've seen bits and pieces throughout my life. But I know I didn't watch the whole thing.
There it is.
But yeah, like,
I watched it September 2015.
There you go. But so
almost
like
a year ago.
Like Jason mentioned that episode.
A little more than a year ago.
Yeah. A woman is like interested in this guy who's like suing her or something. So then she goes over to the island that he lives on to give his daughter some birds, like the lovebirds. And then while that's happening, birds start attacking everybody and whatnot. That's the abridged version. Abridged, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found out recently they did an interview with the lady who was in that movie.
She's still alive?
Yeah, she wrote a book about how Alfred Hitchcock tried to seduce her and have sex with her and stuff.
Of course.
And she said no. And he's like, okay. So he just stalked her. But apparently in that movie, the scene where she's getting attacked by birds and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot, but anyway, there were real birds.
Yeah.
And she actually did get hurt.
Yeah.
So that was like actual blood.
Yeah, I was going to say, while I was watching it, I'm like, these aren't puppets. Like, you see, like, people there's nipping some, at their hands
well,
and stuff.
Well, there's some of the birds are fake, but some of them are real. But, yeah, that's actual real blood. She did get attacked.
Yeah, they're, like, so I'm like, there's a part
I was like, holy crap, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because, like, near the end of the movie, like, she's in that room, and she's, like, getting attacked. I'm like, she's trying to grab something, and, like, the birds are like, nyow, like, I'm like, holy shit, these fucking birds are nipping at her, and then the guy comes in, he's like trying to grab her, and they're nipping at him. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it was real.
These seagulls are dicks. but yeah, it's like, again, with these old horror movies, like back then, I'm like, I could see this being kind of terrifying.
Yeah, the special effects and stuff are pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's iconic.
It's a good movie, and it's like, it's really well done, but unfortunately, it's well past my attention span of movies because yeah. So much is coming past that. But it's like, I feel bad because like, I gave it a 6.5.
Oh, I gave it a 6 last year. So.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.5, but that's just for me, but it is.
It's definitely worth watching if you've never seen it, but it's not the most amazing Hitchcock film.
No, not at all. But like, yeah, but a lot of it's really cool. I'm just imagining like being in that situation. And, like, when the kids are running and they're all getting attacked, man, that would suck to be a kid. but, yeah, I gave it a 6.5.
All right, so the next movie I watched was another Halloween movie, Halloween 3.
Okay.
Halloween 3 I saw, which is funny because Halloween 1 and 2 is Mike, you know, everyone knows the Halloween movies as Michael Myers. Halloween 3 was not a Michael Myers movie.
No.
Apparently he just wanted to make movies that took place on Halloween, and that's why it's called Halloween.
Yeah.
But this one didn't do that well, even though it was pretty entertaining. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, I think it's called.
Yes.
Is about this factory, Silver Shamrock, that is making Halloween masks and trying to sell, you know, they're apparently the most popular Halloween masks. And so I forget why they went. They're getting a tour of the factory.
Yeah, because her dad...
I don't remember why they got a tour of the factory.
Well, because right at the very beginning, you see a guy getting chased by this, like, sort of nice-looking guy in a suit, and, like, he's, like, very well-kept. But he's, like, he's getting chased by this guy in the suit, and then he ends up getting... does he get murdered,
I think? It says he ends up getting murdered, and the killer kills himself.
That's right, yeah. He kills the guy, and then he gets in his car and pours gasoline on himself and just lights himself on fire, and the whole car goes up in flames. And the guy's like, what the fuck? I'm a doctor. What's going on with that? Because the main character's a doctor, and the old man mm-hmm. came into the hospital holding one of the masks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then the woman comes in. She's like, that's my dad. He's like, he was holding this mask. We got to go figure this out. We got to go to the factory.
Yeah, so they go and they do a tour of the factory, and they're showing how the masks are made, and there's, like, a computer chip inside. And then, like, eventually you figure out that these masks are used for an evil plot by the corporation, because there's a big drawing at 9 o'clock on Sunday that everyone has to be wearing the masks.
And watch it.
And watch the big announcement, and that's when everything's going to hit the fan. Yeah, and there's a commercial that constantly plays, and it gets stuck in your head forever. That's probably, like, the best thing about the movie was the commercial. I know, like,
that fucking...
Even for how bad it is, it's so good.
The guy who has that voice is just so... It's like, make sure you watch TV at 9 for the big drawing.
Yeah.
God damn it.
This one I gave a 7.
I just want to say, though, like, some of the characters, like the guy who owns the factory, because the main character and the dead guy's wife, daughter, they go to check it out, and they, like, for some reason, this guy is not that attractive at all, but suddenly, like, just, he meets a woman, and immediately, like, we're gonna fuck. And then, they go to the factory, and there's this other guy, this guy who sold the most Silver Shamrock masks that year, and then his wife and kid. And kid's like, I want to see the factory. I want to see how the masks are made. He's like, all right, in time. And then eventually the guy goes in there, and he's like, yes, they take the silicon, they pour the mask in the mold, they pour the mold into that. Now over here, like... The kid was so excited to see how the masks are made. He just says it so fucking, like, says it so boring. It's like, oh yeah, they poured in this thing and then they did in that thing. No, come over here. Just, like, the worst tour ever. I mean, that made me laugh a lot. But yeah, I gave it a, where am I going? 6.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
That one was, that Halloween 1 and Halloween 3 were on my list of scariest movies.
Okay. I ended up watching 4 and 5. I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Okay. I'll just do a quick...
Did that.
So, Halloween 4 takes place after Halloween 2, since Halloween 3 is not part of the Michael Myers thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not in this... I don't want to spoil anything, but the way the movie 3 ends, obviously the sequels would be a very different world.
Yeah, so Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. God damn it, I wish I would have wrote more stuff down because I'm not remembering the difference between these two. I don't remember much at all. So, Michael Myers goes back to town again.
Where's high school reunion?
Haydenfield, that's it. I was trying to remember the name of the town. Haydenfield. And the doctor... The way the second one ended, somehow, the doctor and Michael Myers survive, I'm just going to say it, the explosion.
Okay.
The doctor's face is now half, like, burnt, scarred. So now he looks different because he's, like, scarred. And Michael Myers, you can't tell because he's wearing a mask anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, Michael Myers starts heading back to the town again. And the psychologist doctor's like, we got to stop him again. And he is going to the town to get this little girl. And you're like, why is this girl important?
Wait, the Michael Myers or the...
Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
Is going after this little girl.
That's and creepy.
And there's like a lot of deaths and stuff like normal. they're oh yeah yeah yeah, right? Is that this one? Yeah. So they're like, okay, he's coming after this girl. So they bring the girl to this house, and they get cops to have a perimeter on it, and they're gonna keep this girl safe because. After the events that happened before, now they're believing the doctor that this guy's dangerous. So they have the little girl in the house, and the cops are on perimeter trying to, like, stop Michael Myers from getting in the house, which obviously works for a little bit. But you find out that the little girl is his niece.
Okay.
So it's, like, a family member. And I think her family's dead and stuff. I don't remember. I think she got adopted... I don't know. So you find that out that it's the niece. So he's trying to kill her, and big epic battle at the end, like most of them. And number five takes place right after it.
Okay.
So like when Michael Myers is getting shot down and stuff like that, he like grabs her hand, the little girl's hand. And something happens. So now they have this psychic connection.
Oh.
So she's in this little, I don't know, it's a hospital or daycare or something like that. School. I don't remember exactly what it was. But anyway, she's like, something's happening. Blah, blah, blah is in trouble. And then the doctor's like, you gotta go. You know, he's gonna go get her and stuff like that. And they get there. The cops get there. And she's like, what's going on? You're in trouble. Mike Myers is coming for you. No, he's not. Oh, okay. And then they leave, and then she dies. So then she's like, something's happening. The dog's missing and stuff. And they, like, get there, and they're like, everything's fine. And then it happens.
So and they're just stupid and too early.
Right. They're trying to stop it before it happens. So there's, like, this whole connection. So then she ends up leaving the place with her friend. Because they're, like, young. I don't remember how old they are, but they're really... Oh, it says seven. So like
well,
seven,
that's very young. I thought it was, like, 12 or something.
No. So they're like, we're going to go to this Halloween party because I got to save my, I don't know, her adoptive sister or something like that. And, okay, so most of these Halloween movies, it's like, okay, he's killing these people for reasons, da-da-da. This one felt the most...
Random?
This one felt the most Jason Voorhees, like Freddy Krueger, like generic, not generic, but humorous things that they would throw in just because it'd be funny.
Okay.
Because this girl and her boyfriend stop to get beer, and Michael Myers comes, kills the guy, and then sits in the car and pretends he's the boyfriend and drives the car around with her, and it's... Like, really weird stuff. Like, he goes after people who are having sex, and he tries killing them, and it felt very unlike the other ones.
Yeah.
Because it felt, oh, you shouldn't be having sex or Michael Myers will kill you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so there's a big, huge Halloween party and stuff like that. So I gave both of those. I gave basically all of these sevens because none of them seemed like...
They never stood out.
Stood out. They're all about equal. But as I mentioned, I did watch the Rob Zombie Halloween 2, so I feel like I should review that one too.
Okay.
Even though it's been forever since I saw the first Rob Zombie one. But it was obviously more updated. This one felt... A lot like Halloween 4 and 5.
Okay.
Because the first Rob Zombie one was like 1 and 2 combined. So it was, this one's
but
like...
It was, but it had much more stuff on his... not birthright, but... what is it called? Past? Oh, yeah. when they make the person happen.
Origin?
Yep, that's it. That's right. It.
Where this one, they had all the parties, and Halloween parties, and random people getting murdered, and there was a connection between him and this girl, which in... I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but the Rob Zombie one, the girl, it turns out to be Michael Myers' sister.
Did you find that on the first movie? Yeah.
Okay. But she's like with a new family and they don't realize that she's Michael Myers' sister. And he comes for her, and the end of the movie is pretty cool. I don't know. I'm getting tired of talking about Halloween movies. But it was done... I think the Rob Zombie movies were done really, really well.
They were good. I saw the first one.
I know some people get mad when they remake stuff, but I think they took what was good about Halloween and just made it scarier.
Yeah.
Because I think the Rob Zombie movies are really good for as far as remakes go. Because the first ones are good... But they're not, like, amazing.
There's a difference between, like, remaking a movie that's a classic
right.
and remaking a movie because it has a story in there, but it came out at a time where slashers were the thing.
Right.
Because there's, like...
Well, there's a lot of people who are, like, the first Halloween movie is a classic.
It is.
And shouldn't have remade it. Because they remade, you know, Friday the 13th, The Nightmare on Elm Street, and all those. You know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah. They remade all of those. But out of all the remakes, I feel Halloween was... the best done remakes. I gave this one an 8.
Okay.
I mean, the movie is like 2.5 hours long, but it was, I thought, really good.
The next movie I watched after Birds, very beginning of the year, I want to say January or February, I watched Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like, you know what? I do want to see the remake one eventually, speaking of remakes. Boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Speaking of, not all of them are as good as it.
I don't know why someone would say, you know what's good? Steven Spielberg movies. Let's remake one. Because that seems dumb. Watching the first one, I liked the first one originally a lot. They kind of said, we're just going to take basically the same story, basically try to take the same movie, change a few things up. So instead of being a realtor, which made sense in the first movie... The guy just lost his job. Sam Rockwell just lost his job. And his wife is an author who wasn't currently writing anything. So they decided to... They moved to a new house. I'm like, how do they have the money to buy a new house when they neither of them are working? Such for how big of a house it is. But right away, they kind of... Because in the original Poltergeist, the innocence of the ghosts kind of made it seem like it's right away. Like, oh, slide across the floor and do these silly things. Like, oh, that's crazy. And you're like, oh, these people want to steal my soul. Right away, as soon as they move in, the girl's talking to herself, making imaginary friends. It felt like they remade it with very cookie-cutter horror movie-esque things. And they it felt like they did certain things in the movie... Like, you know, because it was in the original, but they didn't do it. They're like, we're going to do it differently, though, so it's not the same. And it wasn't good, though, because in the first one, the kid fucking got attacked by the tree and it started swallowing him. That was creepy as shit. This one, basically, the tree pulled the kid out of the room and just held him in the air because to distract them from sucking the girl into the closet. So, okay. That's great. And also the psychic in the movie isn't that short little weird Lisa Simpson sounding person. It's a reality TV show guy who's a psychic and he cleans houses of ghosts and stuff. So then they're like, we need to go up higher than this. And the girl's like, oh, I'm so excited because he's going to show up. And he's like, ah, hi, this house has been cleaned. And you're like, oh, boy. Man, like the only cool thing about the movie... I should say the only cool thing. It was okay, but it wasn't good. The coolest thing about it, though, was when... for some reason, even though the guy... It was like Sam Rockwell's like going around trying to find jobs. And then he's like, huh. And he looks in his rearview mirror, and he's like looking at something. I don't know exactly what he saw. Then he comes home with gifts for everybody. She's like, "Where? How did you get all this stuff? Where did you go? How'd you get the money?" Never explains it. Even after the movie ends, and you're like, "Oh, okay." But he buys the son a drone, so they use the drone to fly into the closet to go into the afterworld.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So it looks like the house, except there's like spirits in the walls and shit. It's pretty creepy looking, but it's pretty cool. But at least the ending, because the ending makes a lot more sense as to what happens than the original. So, but I gave it a 5. But I wanted to watch it for fun, and I didn't. Another one I checked out at the same time, because I checked it out from the library. I just saw the cover. I'm like, this seems like a cool thing. It's called Let Sleeping Corpses Lie.
Oh, that wasn't on your list?
No, it was just, I saw it, and I was like, oh. And it's a 1970s zombie movie. And I'm like, I'll give this a shot. And it was a different type of zombie movie, because this guy is trying to, like, he's trying to hurry to get from point A to point B. And this other girl, because, like, to sell some objects in his business, like, he's like, sells, like, little statues and, like, weird artifact type stuff like that. And he was filling the gas. This girl backs her car into his motorcycle, and he's like, whoa, man, what the hell? I gotta hurry up and get over here. And she's like, oh, sorry. He's like, the least you can do is give me a ride here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and you know what? After that, I'm driving, too, because, like, you're an awful driver. But then she's like, some of the girls like supposed to meet up with some of her friends, but as they're like, they're passing through this area, they see this weird machine that people are driving. Like this, it's this sort of like big tractor with this like satellite dishes on top,
mm-hmm.
and like, oh, it's we're using these radiation waves to mess with these insects' minds, so they attack each other and kill each other off. So like the harvest and crops and stuff. Like, we're not using pesticides or anything. We just use, like, this radiation waves, which is what makes some of the zombies come back to life.
Jeepers.
But, like, the waves only, like, go out, like, a mile. So it's, like, a very self-contained zombie outbreak.
Okay.
So, like, the first zombie they see is a guy who had just recently died, like, a few days ago. So everyone's like, oh, we saw this guy. He's still alive. Like, no, he died. We saw him die. He's dead. They pulled him out of the river. He fucking drowned in the river. Like, no, he attacked me. Like, lady, you're nuts. But then she goes to visit her sister, I think. And her sister's husband ends up getting killed by the zombie. So when they call the cops, they're like, no, I don't believe you. She murdered her, and she murdered him, and you're like covering it up for her and whatnot. So like, it has this weird spin where these zombies are killing people, but since like there's so few of them, no one believes it. So the cops, are going after the two main characters, just like, you guys are fucking doing this shit. You're doing these satanic things, because they see the guy has like all these artifacts that he's selling. He's like, you're worshiping Satan and stuff like that, and like they're like trying to figure out how to stop the zombies, and the cops are going after him and stuff. It was actually a pretty cool, decent movie. It was very fun, it had a very Tales from the Crypt type feel near the end of it, too. So, I gave it a 7.5.
Nice.
And then I have just, like, one movie left.
Okay. The last movie I watched was The New Ghostbusters.
Whoa!
From 2016.
This year.
Yeah, it came out this year. So, in case you don't know what the movie's about...
Ghosts.
The main character... Uh-oh.
Melissa McCarthy.
Nope.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig is a professor at a college, and a guy comes to the campus and says, hey, I want to talk to you about this book you wrote. And she's like, what are you talking about? This book on ghosts. And she's, we made 2 copies of that book. Where did you get this? He's like, oh, they're selling it online. And she goes online and sees that her book's posted online about ghosts, and no one believes ghosts are real. Mm-hmm. So she's afraid, because she's so close to getting tenure at her campus, that she wants the book pulled because she feels that they're not going to take her seriously if they find out she wrote a book about ghosts. So the guy, he's like, well, I want to talk to you about ghosts because my place is haunted. And she's like, okay. So she goes and finds her partner from college who wrote the book with her. It was Melissa McCarthy's character. And she's like, you have to pull this book down because it could ruin my life and blah, blah, blah. This guy came to my college and started questioning me about this book because he saw a ghost in his house. And she's like, where did, because she's still searching for, like, doing the ghost stuff. She's like, where did he have this ghost? She's like, if I show you where this ghost is, will you pull the book from the internet? And she's like, okay. So they go to the house, and while they're there, the ghost shows itself, and they're like, holy crap, this ghost is real. And then she's like, okay, maybe ghosts are real, and this book's okay. So the three of them decide they're going to get together and find where these ghosts are, capture them, and have proof that ghosts exist, and show to the world, ghosts exist, and we have proof. While this is happening, another ghost shows up in the subway system, and this is where Leslie Jones' character comes in. McKenna is...
Katie McKenna.
Yeah, she's working with Melissa McCarthy when she shows up. So that's the three of them. There's another ghost in the subway, and Leslie Jones' character is like, oh, I want to be a part of this. And she quits her job as a ticket salesman for the... I don't know, the person that gives tickets for the trains. She sells train tickets. But then you find out, as the movie's going on, that the ghosts are showing up because someone created a machine that taps into the afterlife and pulls the ghosts into ours. And he's doing this on purpose.
So ghosts don't even exist, actually.
No, they exist, but they're not on our realm. So he's bringing them into our realm.
Okay.
And
but before that, ghosts didn't exist.
Right. Oh. So he brought the first ghost. Yeah, because... Yeah. So then the movie becomes, okay, who's doing this? And we got to stop him. And it's a pretty interesting story and plot. There's parts that are really funny. There's a lot of cameos. I'm going to look at my notes real quick. But the movie itself, like, the plot was good, but it felt like it was an homage to Ghostbusters instead of a new movie. So there's, like, all these, like, things sprinkled through it that are like, because they had, like, the origin of the Ghostbusters symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is, you know, do-do-do-do. And, like, at the end, and the camera turns around, you see the symbol, and you're like, oh, it's the Ghostbusters symbol! It's like, do you really need the origins of the Ghostbusters symbol? there's a lot of stuff that if you're fans of the original one, you're like, oh, they did this, this, and this. But after a while, you are like, oh, god damn it. Really? Really? Because there's a part... Because it's a women's empowerment movie.
Okay.
So there's... a male ghost, and they hit him in the nuts.
What the thing?
They did that. There's a bunch of cameos, like Ghostbusters, the old Ghostbuster characters, like Slimer's in this movie, Stay Puft. They mentioned Zool in the post-credits thing.
Spoilers.
Well, it's not really... They just say the word. It's not like...
What is...
The epic... There's pretty epic fights. Just crazy weapons, where in the original one there was just the gun.
Proton packs, yeah.
Yeah, the proton pack with the guns. But this, they made...
The bear traps I saw in the trick commercials. Right. And like the pistols or whatever.
The pistols, which they almost act like swords. So they're like doing like sword stuff, because they're small handheld laser guns.
Oh, okay.
There's like a glove that you can use to punch the ghosts.
As long as they have like wires or whatever.
Right. There's like this one gun that is like a wood chipper type thing. So like the ghosts get chipped up and shredded.
Cool.
Which is kind of weird.
Good old Fargo on them.
Right. What else? Other notes. Pistols. So this is the weird thing about the movie. So everyone calls it Ghostbusters. This is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But the DVD case, the credits, and everything call it Ghostbusters. Answer the Call.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe the tagline is showing you that it's a new movie, but it doesn't say it anywhere except on the boxes. Like, when people look at it online, it never says Answer the Call. Yeah. But the box says it, and I thought it was just a catchphrase. But then the credits happen, it says Ghostbusters, Answer the Call. So, maybe I don't know if they were trying to do a new name, and they just said, eh, it's too confusing. We'll just call it Ghostbusters.
Maybe it's like the whole Star Wars thing, where like, this is Star Wars! And then years later, like, it's actually A New Hope, because they say that at the very beginning, or whatever the fuck.
Right. So, yeah, that's kind of
weird.
So
years from now, when they make prequels and trilogies later, like, this is actually Ghostbusters Episode 4, Answer the Call. Part 3 is Dialing. 2 is Put the Quarter In.
That one, I mean, I gave it... What did I give it?
Probably 12.
Nope. I gave it an 8.5. 8.5. It was an entertaining movie. There were a couple groaners. I'm not going to give everything away, so I'm not going to tell you some of them that pissed me off. But yeah, if you want to know, you can talk to me.
The throw up on her. Just kidding, sorry.
That wasn't as annoying as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The last movie I watched of the month was actually on Halloween. Well, waiting for no trick-or-treaters to show up. I think last year, or the year before, I don't know, I should have checked. I watched VHS and VHS 2. This time, I watched VHS Viral, which is the third one. Mm-hmm. All three of them are on Netflix right now. Like I said earlier, I like anthology movies. So I'm like, cool, this one, more anthology stories. The first two movies, the umbrella story, that kind of like the Omega story, whatever, that like kind of branch everything together. Mm-hmm. They were very small, simple things. Like, hey, we found a bunch of tapes. We'll just popping tapes in.
Mm-hmm.
This one,
popping tops.
They try putting a story to it, where there's this chase going on, where this ice cream truck is being chased by police all around the neighborhood, and so the guy's like, "I'm going to go viral if I can take a video of it and put it on the internet first." So he tries to do that, and then like, but then people are kind of in a trance at some points, and like walking towards the truck, and like right away, his girlfriend like gets taken by the ice cream truck, and he's chasing. So this guy's chasing on the ice cream truck the entire time, but then every once in a while, like, people's phones will start going crazy, and then next thing you know, the video is playing. So I don't know if the video is showing up on the phones or what. I don't know. But there was only three stories, which saddened me, because I'm like, I like watching the short, like, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually, they spent a lot more time setting up the stories. And I can quick go through, like, the first one was about a magician who found this cape, and right away, the cape is magic, but you have to feed it people.
Hmm.
But they had like things like
Very Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. It was weird because it was like a documentary type style, which I'm like, this isn't found footage. It was weird. And then the second one was about this guy who created this doorway to walk into a parallel world. So like, he met himself and was like, oh, can we just check out each other's houses for 15 minutes? And of course, it was a lot more different than they thought, with like this giant blimp flying around with an upside down cross on it, and people's genitals are giant tongue monsters. Yeah, it was all right. And then the third one was these guys making a skateboard video, and the guy's like, "Yeah, actually, I heard that down in Tijuana, there's this really cool place." That like no one's around and has some really cool jumps. So like, they're like, all right, cool, let's go to Mexico. And they end up finding this area like sort of like the river, like the like sort of rivers, like in LA and stuff, where it's like a concrete thing and they have the water going through it type thing. You know,
aqueduct.
Sure. It was like one of those where it was like dry, but there was like this big like pentagram in the middle with all these strange symbols. And one of the guys wipes out and he gets blood on it and it starts sizzling. And then next thing you know, all these like zombies and skeleton type people are showing up and they just beat the shit out of the zombie people. Yeah, and then the main story wrapped up, which I don't know what was happening the whole time. Like, I don't know, the skateboard part, like, half it was fun, because it felt very, the actors were, like, really natural. Like, there was, like, these chump high school kids were like, fuck, what are you doing? This, I can do that, yeah. And, like, I don't know, just the acting was very natural. And then, like, the magician thing was pretty cool, like, how they did it, but I don't know. Overall, it wasn't great. I liked the first one the best, I think. I gave it a 6. So the movies that I watched this month that were on my list of scariest movies was It Came From Outer Space, Rosemary's Baby, Who Can Kill a Child, Audition, Halloween, Halloween 2, The Birds. Yeah.
Yeah, mine were the Halloween movies.
Did I say Halloween? I meant to say Halloween 3 if I said Halloween 2.
You said 2.
Yeah, I meant to say 3.
All right, so the best movie I watched this month... The best movie I watched this month was Rosemary's Baby with a 9. And my least favorite was They with a 4.5.
The best one I saw was Rosemary's Baby, an 8. And the least favorite was Poltergeist or Don't Breathe at a 5. All right, this is Scott Runes. Yeah. Nope, this is... Nope, oh, oh, month movies write to me. StuffbySCott@gmail.com. Opinions... Thoughts, suggestions, comments, all that stuff if you want. Or none of it. Just say hi.
Just say hi.
But other than that,
that's a wrap.
Clacker noise. Click. Peck. Print and cut. Or cut and print. Print and cut.